love that one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. It was a culmination of the whole set.
Mm-hmm.
We got it all.
We got it all.
All right, Theo, it is 2 p.m., so I'm afraid this is where we part ways.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, so thank you to Theo. That was excellent.
Yes.
Do you want to plug any Instagram? Go.
Yes.
Yeah, you have the floor.
My personal Instagram is theo.gee.tee. My band Instagram is Saint Cecilia dot band. And I'm looking at putting out some recorded stuff in the spring, and so is my band, Saint Cecilia. So follow up both and you'll get a good EP, maybe LP from both. Thank you so much.
Very exciting news. Thank you, Theo. You're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Stay tuned for our next live act. Thank you. Back to you, Kim.
Good job, Daniel. That was nice. Stay tuned. We have another live band coming on called Rare Occasions, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
angels, dancing in the deepest oceans.
Second to a second thought, I'd watch my youth slip right through my wide eyes. If I told you that I loved you, that would be a guarantee that there's nothing or no one else for me. Oh, I can't be in charge of breaking hearts, that ain't a job. Girl, don't you make a monster out of me. Oh, I'm trying my best to write the words into phrases from all the phases, all for you. I'll keep living, you can stay, I don't mind the company, babe. Just know I ain't old enough to say that what I have is what's ahead. Oh, you're the one, until I'm dead, I'll kiss your lips and I'll bless your brain. I'm a Jolly Roger, darling Dodger Bane. And we know my mind ain't right, a late bloomer. I took boomers, trusting me's a cautious game you ought not to play. And my heart ain't in my chest, stomach's always a mess. I'm nervous, young, always obsessed with something new. And soon soon all I'll do is sit and whine and write to you while you're off wishing your thoughts far from me. Still I'm trying, trying my best to write the words into phrases, phrases from all the phases, all for you. I'll keep living, you can stay, I don't mind the company, babe, just know I ain't old enough to say that what I have is what's ahead. Oh, you're the one, until I'm dead, I'll kiss your lips, I'll bless your brain. I'm a Jolly Roger, darling Dodger Bane.
Ooh, we're gonna have fun.
Oh yeah. If you enjoy new and vintage punk, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, psychedelic, surf, and rockabilly, you'll want to tune into the Desperate Hours with Alex every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. here on WMFO Medford.
We pride ourselves on the high moral standards of our program, and I mean that sincerely. We don't resort to sex or crime or violence or drinking on the program.
It's great music from the has-beens, should-have-beens, woulda-couldas, and never-weres from the 1950s all the way up through to the present day.
Yes.
Connect with Alex and the Desperate Hours on Facebook and listen on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. only here on Tufts Freeform Radio, 91.5 on your FM dial and on the web at WMFO.org.
There's no crime in giving yourself over to pleasure.
In this weird and wonderful world of tomorrow, we'll still be doing the same things.
On the air at 91.5 WMFO. On the web at WMFO.org.
Leave room for your growth tomorrow.
Hello.
This is Trevor.
And Marielle.
And we have a very special band. And you are listening to M&T's. You are listening to M&T's Audio Adventure on 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Welcome everyone listening and our incredible guests, if you guys don't mind introducing yourselves.
Sure. We're a band called The Rare Occasions, and my name is Brian.
My name is Luke.
My name is Jeremy, and a part of my chair just broke.
Oh, no. Oh, you figured it out. Kind of.
Well, they're working on that.
We'll do a little introduction.
Yeah.
It's fixed.
Perfect. This is a band started in Boston, moved to L.A. They've been around for 12-ish years now. Really great to have them here. Actually, their lead singer graduated from Tufts a little bit ago, so great to have him back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Very excited to have you guys on. We're going to ask some questions, hear some music, and then we're going to keep hyping up their show tonight in Davis Square. You guys should all be there. But I think we should just get started.
With what?
Great question.
We can play some music.
Yeah.
Sure.
Since we're a band of musicians.
Great. Do you want to hear a song?
We would love to hear a song. I'm sure all the listeners would. Everything that they're going to be playing today is going to be acoustic and really cool. And then everyone listening should come tonight and hear them play in Davis Square.
It's true. 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Take it away.
What do you want to do?
What are we doing?
BB.
All right. All right. Short for Black Balloons.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Across the afternoon, mind in a twist, she notices her wrist tied to a string of black balloons. That's right.
That was a great song. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that was incredible. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if I'm correct, that's from your newest album, Through Moonshot Eyes, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Fresh off the press.
Yeah, that album just came out less than a month ago. Can you guys tell us a little bit about the album? What was like the inspiration for the album? And I at least personally thought this is kind of different from your other stuff. If you just want to tell us about how like your music's evolved over the time.
Yeah, so this is our third album. We've done two other full lengths before and a bunch of EPs before that. And we were wanting to kind of switch up our sound. And we kind of just coasted into the album process like with a few songs just to test out the waters. And we were noticing there was a lot of celestial themes in the lyrics, a lot of like moons and tides and planets and all that stuff, and so we were like, oh, let's run with that. That's kind of a cool theme for an album. And it talks about that's sort of like the motif, but you know, it talks about sort of the highs in life and the lows in life as well, and some pretty dark things as well, and it's just sort of our way of navigating and handling everything that we come across through music.
That's great. Yeah, my favorite song, I think, in that one is Darling the Planets, going with that celestial theme.
Heck yeah.
But I'm really liking everything in this album. It's a lot more energetic, I'd say, more instrumental than some of your other stuff, but it's great. And can you just tell us a little bit more about, like, I know some of your EPs from before. I think Future Proof is my favorite in that. But you guys started demo recordings when you guys were still in school. How's your process for writing these songs changed?
Oh man, yeah. Well, it's been a while. That one was like made in our dorm rooms pretty much. So
yeah, it was like recorded in practice rooms in the music building and
yeah,
literally in our dorms.
Lewis Hall. Lots of that was recorded at Lewis Hall. But yeah, since then, like, we can actually, like, afford to go to a real studio. So that's kind of, like, a big change for this current
album. And not have to record through a two-track USB interface. We can actually record on a big boy mixer, which is pretty nice.
We had one of our friends who engineered the sessions also mixed the tracks, and so that's been kind of liberating, is having somebody else like deal with all the technical aspects of mixing the song, and we're just kind of directing from a creative point of view more so.
Wow. Shout out to Dirty Lou for the top students, giving Lewis Hall a good name. During your time at Tufts, I'm assuming, is that where you lived?
I was in Bush Hall my first year, and then I was in Lewis Hall my second year, and then I lived off campus junior and senior year.
Jeremy and I went to Berkeley, so we didn't go here, but we came here a lot to write and rehearse with Brian, and he came to Berkeley a few times to rehearse there, and that's just how we started the band.
Yeah. Crazy that this is your first time on the Tufts radio.
Yeah, we never did anything with WMFO while I was a student, but it's cool to be here.
Our first show ever was the Tufts Spring Fling.
Yeah.
That was the second show ever. The first show ever was the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, that got us the Spring
that
Fling
got us
slot.
This
yeah, we won the Battle of Bands, and then we opened for Guster at the Spring
and
Fling.
Lupe Fiasco.
Wow.
I'm actually going to bring that one up. I think you guys should come back this year, Spring Fling.
Hey.
If you know anyone, let us know. We'll fly out from LA.
If the invitation arrives in our inbox, we will seriously consider it.
We got to get in touch now with who organizes Spring Fling.
I don't know, but we'll...
Tusk?
Tusk.
Yeah.
We'll find people.
We'll send some emails.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, our listeners, I'd say, know this, but Trevor and I can be a tad unorganized most of the time, and Trevor is now going to tell this incredible story about how the Rare Occasions even came to be here at Tufts with us.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, some of my friends and I were like looking through concerts. We saw that you guys were coming not just to Boston, but to Somerville. And we were like, we gotta go, like, we love the Rare Occasions, this is crazy. And then I said, why not DM them, see if they would come on our radio show. I think we actually found the tickets while we were doing the radio, and so I was like, oh, this could be great. And then all my friends surrounding me were like, no, this is never gonna happen, they have tons of listeners, why would they want to come on a student radio? Anyways, you guys responded, found out that lead singer went to Tufts, and I was like, oh, this could actually happen.
Back in the day.
Yep.
Yeah. Tons of emails later, we finally got you guys, and we are crazy excited about this. This has been a lot in the making, so.
Heck yeah. Yeah, sometimes you just gotta put stuff out in the universe, and it happens.
Yeah,
we're just guys being dudes over here, so yeah, we're happy to be here.
It was pretty crazy. Trevor actually didn't tell me until you guys said yes.
Oh,
that he was gonna text and be like, "Hey, like, Rare Occasions want to come on our radio show?" And so this was a total surprise to me, but an incredible one.
I mean, it was a surprise to me also.
Yeah.
It took us a while to figure out the schedule too, because we've been back and forth with the venue. It's like, what time's load in? What time's sound check? And we like just found out like 2 days ago, and I think that's when I emailed you. Yeah, 2 o'clock works for us.
Yeah, I was my roommate can attest to this. I was doing homework in the room when you guys DM'd me back, and I actually like stood up from my chair. I was going crazy. I was like, they actually responded. Like I didn't think that they would ever respond.
Yeah, you were in our hidden requests on Instagram, so I was digging through. Sometimes like when we're on tour, people will post videos of our performances, and I usually like to look through that just to see, like, to make sure, you know, we give everybody say thanks to coming to our shows. And then I saw your DM in there, and I'm like, all right, yeah, let's make this happen.
Yeah.
Go Jumbos.
That's great.
Crazy?
I know, that's insane. Do you guys want to start playing next song?
Yeah, let's rip it.
What are we doing? Do you want to do another one off the album?
Yeah, let's do Loans.
Oh, okay, yeah. All
right. That was pretty appropriate.
We're at a college.
Yeah, we're at a college. So this song was written a couple years after we all graduated. And as one often is, we were straddled with some student loans. And this is our rock and roll song to tell them off.
Our ode to our student loans.
This one's for Sally.
Got their own plans. A map of Brooklyn on the backs of their hands. But no one ever seems to find their way to the door. You could say you're unworthy, settle for a piece of Jersey. Or you could cram in the train as if there's something to fight for. They're always saying never make it on your own. Why don't you take another loan before you know it? You're oddly fighting for yourself, owned by everybody else. And I'll never understand. No, I'll never understand. Maybe it's time to revisit Camus. That myth of Sisyphus is sizzling you. Stone with that kind of weight could put a dent in your interest. For all the times you could lie awake and ponder if there was a better mistake. It doesn't matter, doesn't matter. You're screwed either way. You're always saying you'll never make it. Why don't you take another loan before you know it? You're oddly fighting for yourself, owned by everybody else. And I'll never understand. No, I'll never understand.
That was great.
Thanks.
Before we get into the song, I was told I should ask you what floor of Lewis you were on.
I was on the first floor.
You gonna tell them what room?
I can't remember.
What secrets lurk?
What
bed was he in?
Yeah, you should sign the door being like, Rare Occasions was started in here. This is crazy.
The writing.
Yeah, we were on the first floor, like right across from the RD of the whole building. And me and my roommate would be like making music at hours of the night we shouldn't be doing. And she was always yelling at us like, guys, shut up.
Dude, don't share too much information that might cite you retroactively if you share too much
information. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you guys were saying you started in college, but I know there was a band before that, when you guys were in high school. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the formation from that band into the college one?
Yeah. So Brian and I met in like middle school math class or something.
Yeah, Mr. Bruzzi's class.
And at some point during the school year, he and his neighbors were like jamming in the garage in their neighborhood, and I lived on the other side of town, so he knew that I was a drummer and they were looking for a drummer to jam with, so he invited me to come over and
just, we had fun.
Yeah, just making lots of noise for all the neighbors.
Yeah.
And we did that for basically all of high school. Me and Brian and two other guys from our high school. And we played around Providence mostly. And then when we were graduating high school and going off to college, we knew we'd both end up in the Boston area. So we decided to keep jamming together. And I was at Berkeley and I met Jeremy there and invited him to come do the same.
Yeah.
That was basically it.
Nice.
Was it room 24? Is that the room? Is that the number?
Maybe. Yeah, downstairs in Granoff.
Oh, the rehearsal the room.
Yeah.
I actually just found out about those recently. They're very cool.
Yeah.
It's like pretty competitive to book, right?
Yeah, it was tough to get a slot on the weekend.
Yeah, now that I know that there's history behind it. It's like, come on. And then you guys moved out to LA after college. What was that shift? Well, like, I know one of you guys was studying film scores.
Mm.
Did you just bring out the rest of them, or do you guys all want to move out?
Pretty much. I mean, I moved out there first to like start working on, you know, my career as a composer, and couple of the guys were still in school for another year, and so we were bi-coastal for a year or two.
We were like quad city one point.
Yeah.
We had another member, by the way, who went to Tufts, Peter Stone. So
oh yeah.
We were in he was in like Idaho at one point. You were in New York City, Jeremy. I was in Boston and
I was in LA.
In LA.
And so that's how we wrote the Future Proof EP, actually.
Completely remotely.
It was all just sending files to each other across Google Drive.
Yep. That's how you write a TikTok hit before TikTok even exists, right there,
and
over the internet.
Eventually, everyone moved to LA and figured out, you know, job situations and just figuring out how we could keep the band going. Just on nights and weekends, really, until we had our TikTok moment.
Yeah, you guys mentioned your TikTok moment. I think that was with Notion. How did that kind of boost you guys into the limelight, seeing going from like a smallish band to a lot bigger after that TikTok boom?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of crazy because, yeah, we were just like a local band pretty much playing bars like any other hardworking local band, and then suddenly just overnight, like, the streaming shot up and all these major labels were emailing us and saying like, hey, do you want to sign to like this major label? And we're like, what? It was so far outside of the realm of possibility before that it just seemed unreal. And yeah, we just try to make the most of it, and we've been working kind of hard over the past few years to, you know, release new music and make sure that the people that got into us through Notion have something new to listen to, and hopefully like we're remembered for more than just the one song that we have, like a lot of songs actually that we're all pretty proud of.
Yeah, since then you guys have released three albums, with Through Moonlight, Moonshot Eyes as your newest one. You want to tell us about going from EPs to albums? I know you guys didn't really start out doing many albums in the beginning. So is that once you guys signed, you guys kind of just started going through?
No, well, actually all of our albums are independent releases. The only song that's like through a label is we have like a license deal with Elektra Records. And that's Notion. So yeah, everything else has been independent from the start and is still independent. And I think we started with EPs back in the day because like when we were students and we were young adults, it was tough to fund a whole album, and it was a lot. We just wanted to get our music out there as easily and quickly as possible, so EPs made sense. And also, like, at that time, for some reason, albums were kind of thought of as like, don't do an album until you're really ready, because I don't know, it looks bad if you if your first album is a dud. But that sort of is an outdated way of thinking, I think, and I'm glad we just decided, hey, we're going to do our first album independently, and we just stuck with it for the next two.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds really cool and really complicated. But going back a little bit to, like, Notion and to your, like, social media presence, have you guys, or in general, really, have you guys had any noteworthy fan interactions? Maybe something that was shocking or something really wholesome that you want to share?
And before Notion went viral on the internet, I never signed someone's forehead before. So that's happened. I'm trying to think.
No, I mean, we had like a few people before Notion went viral who were just like really had to dig deep to like find us on the internet, or to like really dig into like the meanings of the songs and whatnot. And then after Notion went viral, it was like a tidal wave of people from all parts of the world, like
we're shipping merch out to like Australia and Saudi Arabia. And
it was crazy how it changed like overnight, and suddenly we had all these people messaging us and coming to our shows and saying how much our music means to them and asking us all these questions about our process and things, and it was like, wow, like we've been doing this for so many years and now finally people are like noticing. And
yeah,
it
was
really was
journey.
A good feeling. It took a long time, but now, yeah, then it was just like, there's been a lot of fan interactions recently that have meant a lot to us. I think
probably the most wholesome I can think of is the other night in Kansas when somebody from our crew handed out birthday hats to all of the entire audience, because it was my birthday. And we walk out on stage, I had no idea, and there's just everybody's wearing like birthday party hats, and I was cracking up. Like the first few songs, I couldn't keep a straight face. It was
we're like
awesome.
playing Mr. Bubbles, which has like a hardcore breakdown.
just laughing
your butt off. That was funny.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know you've made it big when you're signing people's foreheads.
I like to think so.
Yeah, that's like the marker, I'm pretty sure, of when you know you've gone from like big to huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys are now doing a 28 show tour. You want to tell us favorite city or show that you guys have done on this tour?
That's a dangerous question to answer.
Yeah. We could start some wars
with our local radio station. Doesn't usually go outside of Medford.
Yeah, so there's only one answer here.
it's going to be tonight. It's going to be your best show.
This is the one we've been looking forward to the most.
Like, aside from all the awesome crowds that we've had, this is probably the one with the most sentimental meaning to us. Brian and went to school less than 10 minutes away from here. Luke and I used to get off at the Davis Square Red Line T stop to come and rehearse at Tufts for 3.5 years, right down the street from Crystal Ballroom. So,
and we used to busk in Davis Square.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a video of us playing acoustic right in front of JP Licks, and it's like crazy that the show is
just inside the doors.
There, right there. Yeah, well, I think we were like siphoning power for that gig in like the Citizens Bank right across the street or something for that. But yeah, I mean, and also I'm from the North Shore area of Massachusetts. The other guys are from Barrington, Rhode Island, south of Providence. So this is about as close to home as we could get, other than in our backyards, which I don't think our parents would be cool with throwing on a show that could have potentially 500 people at it, which is pretty crazy that 500 people care enough.
When I heard that you guys were in Somerville and not Boston, I was like, this has to be a sentimental show for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of going back to where it all started.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very cool.
Yeah, you guys want to play next song for us?
Keep it going.
Sure.
Floating from the new album. This is our first time trying this acoustics.
Yeah, yeah. Bear with us, because if you want to hear the electric version, you got to come to the show tonight. But we'll do the best we can right now with acoustic instrument.
Setting sun, gentle as a loaded gun. Said I can't feel complete again, and it's not like me to disappoint. Pretend everything's fine. How am I supposed to find all the things I left behind when I can't feel complete again? And it's not love, but I don't know.
Was great, guys. For having said that you haven't really played that one too much acoustically, that was
thanks. We had a little practice on tour.
Oh, okay, never mind. Or, well, no, not never mind at all. Not never mind at all.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of practice. It's totally different. I'm playing on a bass that's usually twice as long as the one that I'm using right now. So I had to like kind of transpose the bridge part on the fly completely. Nice.
Kind of blindsided you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're using a ukulele bass. It's the first I've ever seen.
Yeah, this thing is awesome. It's this is not a sponsored ad. It's a Fender Fullerton uke bass, and it's smaller than Brian's acoustic guitar,
which is already a small, like, mini acoustic.
Yeah, this thing rips. I love it. Right, we during our full shows on tour, we kind of have been deciding to keep like an intimate portion of our set as well. So it's like the mini instruments part of our set. So we'll do some of that tonight at Crystal Ballroom. Most of it will be very loud, but there will be a couple songs where it'll be pretty chill.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the ukulele tonight, get the more intimate session.
Oh, yeah.
And before we continue, because we are a freeform radio, we do have to have a PSA. I'll give you guys a little bit of a break for a sec.
Go for it.
Today, we are going to be reading on pedestrian safety.
Okay. Pedestrian safety is a two-way street. Both drivers and walkers need to do their part to keep roads safe. When you're driving, drive at safe speeds, drive alert, and always scan the road and sidewalks ahead for pedestrians.
It's the law to stop for pedestrians when they're crossing at both marked crosswalks and intersections. When you're walking, remember that drivers may not see you. Continue to watch for traffic as you cross. Always use crosswalks and obey all traffic signals. A life-saving message from your friends at WMFO in Medford.
That was a great one. Nice
Thank
job,
you.
Trevor.
Yeah, I know you wanted to do ladder safety, but I think pedestrian safety is really important these days.
I love the ladder safety one. It's a good, I don't know, classic WMFO.
That's true. A classic M&T's audio adventure.
That too. On the note of our very, very meaningful and incredible PSAs, but sometimes silly, we have a few sillier questions, if you don't, guys don't mind.
Trying to get sure. to know you guys.
Yeah. What is your guys' go-to karaoke song?
Oh.
Notion by the Rare Occasions.
No. No. No.
Brian has a monstrous ego outside of
this. It's a good pick.
I don't know. I don't do karaoke that much.
I feel like.
Or if you guys have like a go-to song you want to blast while you're driving.
Oh, driving.
I'd have
song.
To say "Yeah" by Usher.
Nice. Ooh. That's a solid
all,
pick.
All three parts: Usher, Ludacris, and Lil Jon.
Yeah.
At the same time.
My blasting song while driving song is "Baby Alligator" by Avlov. It's very loud.
Those are usually the best types of songs.
Yeah, we might have hit it off the mark by asking people who sing for a living what their karaoke song was, but
I've actually never done karaoke. That's why I picked like a Rare Occasions song, because that's the only songs I sing really.
Don't ever do karaoke with a group of people, because they'll be like, "Oh, no. You're a musician." Yeah. It's so uncomfy.
Yeah, and now just a. I guess you guys have all been to Tufts, but maybe this one's more of a Brian specific. Being Tufts kids currently, do you have a favorite professor or class that you're like, everyone should take this when they're here?
Well, I was just talking to Mariella about EE65, which is the recording and production class with Paul Learman. I don't know if he still teaches that class. I bet he does. But that's like how I learned how to record, and how I kind of got the idea of like, hey, why don't we record all of our stuff ourselves? So that was like definitely the most life-changing class.
Someone in the studio just screamed his name, so I'm assuming he still does teach here.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many that I could list, but that's probably the, like the top one for me for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm super psyched to take that one. And there's a lot of cool classes.
And now just going back to the roots, and I'm sure you guys have been asked this question tons of times. I think I found somewhere that your name wasn't originally the Rare Occasions. What happened with that? Why? What was the switch up? Was it like you guys rarely saw each other, so it was always an occasion? When the Berkeley kids came from, came yeah. to Tufts.
That's now the story.
Yeah, that's our.
The story keeps changing, honestly. But.
Yeah, my first year here, I was like trying to meet people who were musicians. So we played, Luke and I played with like a few different Tufts people before we found the former fourth member, Peter Stone. He was actually a year younger than me, so we didn't find him till his freshman year, our sophomore year. But yeah, so that first year we played with a lot of different people. We didn't really gig that much, but when we did, we just picked a random name. So like, I remember we played a gig as the Custodians, That was our pretend band name, but it wasn't really us.
For like one gig.
It was
that was on the quad.
Different lineup.
That was on the quad out
that
here,
That was
right?
on the quad, yeah.
In like the middle of the winter.
Alex Flores was playing
hands
guitar.
Were freezing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Brian and I were trying out different musicians to figure out what the band was going to be. And Jeremy came in and we had Jeremy, but we were trying out different guitarists for like the fourth spot.
That was in Granoff the first time you came, right?
Room 24.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy showed up to Granoff on the other side of the city for him with three strings on his bass. And he rocked it. He really crushed it. And he knows how to move around the fretboard in such a way that he only needs three strings.
I am a professional bass player. I was practicing the night before because I wanted to do a good job because I was nervous. And I broke a string practicing for the audition to play with what would become the Rare Occasions. And I didn't have enough time to go to Guitar Center the next day to get more strings. So rocked it with three, and it worked out well.
That's a great origin story, I gotta say. Probably one of the top ones I've heard.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of bands seem to have that story of it was a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving members in the beginning. I know I have a friend who has a band with his brother, and they cannot hold a bass player. They've played maybe three times live solely because they can never get a bass player, and it's just the two of them most of the time. But it's really
bass players, man.
The bass players.
Props to you for staying this
long.
Yeah,
I am. Props to you guys.
Well,
made it work.
If I'm back in town and they need a bass player for a gig, let me know.
Yeah, definitely. We'll just say we know a guy who plays bass casually sometimes.
Yeah. Just tickling the strings.
Yeah. Now, we are nearing the end of our show, and I know you guys may not agree on this, but do you guys have, like, a favorite song or, like, a song that you just want to close us off with, inspire us all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll think we have a song that we could improvise that no one's ever heard.
Yeah, then probably, like, an underground song.
Yeah, it's, like, a really deep cut.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Right. If you're listening out there, we're the Rare Occasions. We're a rock band. We started in Boston. We went to Berklee College of Music and Tufts University. And we're back. We're playing at Crystal Ballroom tonight. There's like less than 50 tickets left. So if you want to come out and hang amongst 500 people enjoying music and dance, you should come and hang. And this next song we're about to play is one of the reasons why.
Sure, it's a calming notion, perpetual in motion, but I don't need the comfort of any lies. For I've seen the ending, and there is no ascending. Back when I was younger, was told by other youngsters, it might end well be tortured beneath the earth. Cause I don't see what they see when death is staring at me. I see a window, a limit to live it or not at all. Thank you. I'm sure there won't always be sunshine, but there's this momentary beam of light. You don't have to wait this empty decades to get through the gate. It's all in front of your face. I'm sure there won't always be sunshine. I'm sure there won't always be sunshine. But there's this momentary beam of light. I could cross the ocean and up and up in motion to every shining second. This fragile body.
Underground song, never heard it before actually.
We just made that up.
Yeah, it was, that was great. But in all seriousness, one of my favorite songs, probably top three songs that I just absolutely love. I've been listening to your guys' music for years now, and this is, I was just talking with Marielle, this is probably top like five things that
This has got to be up there in our top five, like, toughest experiences.
Yeah.
Probably ever, that's but awesome. So far.
Wow. That's so cool.
Awesome. This is crazy.
Yeah. Well, whatever energy y'all had in the control room right now,
bring it later.
Bring it later tonight. Save it. Make sure you eat your veggies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so no, Trevor was saying while you guys were playing, he was like, okay, so we're getting dinner at 6. And we have to be there at latest 7 so that once the doors open, we can be right in front. I was like, okay, perfect. Sounds good. I'll
Heck
be there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I go along with them, but
and from the bottom of our hearts, thank you guys so much for being here. This is a great moment, and we're so glad that you guys can make it.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
Means a
it's
lot.
Good to,
good
be,
to
back.
Be back.
Thank you, Rare Occasions, and this is Marielle.
This is Trevor, and this is M&T's Rare Occasions on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
We will see all of our weekly listeners Thursday next week for an incredible show. Sadly, not a live one, but thank you all for listening. And thank you once again, Rare Occasions, for coming.
Woo!
Thank Woo-hoo. You.
Yay! Bye, everyone.
Cool.